The Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 15. We read this, and I preached from this or started on it last Sunday morning, and I saw real quickly that it was going to get bigger, and it got bigger than what I could deal with in one service, and I'm pretty certain that I won't get done with it this morning either. As we are looking at the Syrophoenician woman, Mark's Gospel and also Matthew's account covers the details of this. And we've been looking at the thought, or started last Sunday morning, looking at the thought of the access of attitude. The access of attitude. And I was thinking this morning, you know, really, we're not far off from the truth about Jesus' birth. You know, I was thinking maybe initially that this was don't have anything really to do with the birth of Christ. But you know what? I'm not going to preach much that's not connected to Him. Amen. And if I preach something that's not connected to Him, it's probably something that doesn't need to be preached. But I thought about this as the Syrophoenician woman came to the Lord and was broken and burdened about how that her daughter was grievously vexed with a devil. How many knows that that's one of the reasons that Jesus came here? Was to destroy the works of the devil. So we have here a demonstrated purpose for which Jesus came. Hebrews chapter number 4, I believe it is. Chapter number 4 and verse number 14. You don't have to turn there. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. So we know Jesus was born. Miss Donna sings the song, maybe sing it tonight, but Miss Donna Seabolt sings the song, Born to Die. He came here for that reason. He didn't come to stay in a cradle. He didn't come to go to a castle. He came, listen, for the purpose of paying the sin debt, being our Redeemer, doing what we couldn't do, paying what we couldn't pay. 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 8, we have this truth verified again. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. Look at this now. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. So we have here in those two passages of Scripture a declaration of the fact that Jesus Christ came here for the purpose of destroying the devil. He could not save you without doing that, because you and I as sinners were under the bondage. We were under the curse of sin and under the bondage and control of the devil himself. Amen. There's verses that verify that, that confirm that. But I'm glad Jesus Christ is able to save me, deliver me. Think about it. Think about it. The very term salvation means rescue. To be rescued. If somebody's rescued from a burning house, they're not just brought part of the way out. They're brought all the way out. They are not rescued if they're left partially in. They're rescued if they're brought all the way out. And for Jesus to be able to bring us out, just like with that illustration I just gave, somebody's got to be greater than that burning house. Somebody's got to be able to go in to where we were and have and listen, not become overcome by the circumstances like we were. I'm glad the Bible declares that Jesus was without sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us. I know there's some that said that He could have sinned. He could not have sinned. He is the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Amen. And so that very illustration, whoever saves has got to be greater in power and ability than the one that needs saving. So I'm glad that Jesus Christ came here. God became a man. That's what the message is. That's the theme of Christmas. That God became a man, robed in Himself in flesh for the purpose of destroying the works of the devil. And so we have in our text, we'll start reading in verse 21. Then Jesus, went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Well, what a statement. There, I don't want you to just read through that, read over that real quickly. You're to go into the what is the possibilities inside that statement. How long has this been going on? When did it start? You know, no doubt it didn't happen when she was physically born in this world. It wasn't. It didn't happen. There was a time that this daughter, where this all started. And the devil can't work without contact. He's got to have some kind of connection to your life, whether it's music, whether it's a friend. He's got to have some kind of contact to work. He can't just work. He's got to have a contact. Amen? And so as we know about this mama, as I pointed out last Sunday, her being a Canaanite or a Canaanite woman, also she's called a Greek, which every time that's used is talking about an idolatrous person. So this woman had been bowing down upon altars of idols. So no doubt the mother had exposed herself to all kinds of demonic activity through idolatry. And amen. Don't let the devil fool you. He always works in relation to worship. The devil, that's why he wanted to take over the throne in heaven. He wanted all the attention. He wanted all the worship. He wanted it all. Amen. He even, when he dealt with Jesus in the temptation in the wilderness, when the devil dealt with him, what did he deal with him on? Based on worship. Bow down and worship me. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Worship me. So that's what the devil wants. And so he'll work behind the scenes. He'll work through people. He'll work through music. He'll work through visuals. Amen. He'll work through some way of getting a contact. But chances are that the contact that the devil had with this daughter was through the mom. Boy, I'd hate to be a parent that was responsible for the devil to be able to use me as a channel, use me as a contact to get to my child or children. Amen. Mothers, whatever you expose yourself to, fathers the same, whatever you expose yourself to, listen, then you become a channel to expose someone else with that. That's why it's so important that parents live for God. That's why it's so important that we here at the church try to hold a line, amen, about sanctification and spirituality and hating sin. Why? Because of all these young people that were in the youth choir and all these little ones that's coming up in our church, amen. We want them to be exposed, but not to sin. We want them to be exposed, but not to wickedness. We want them to be exposed to Jesus and the power of God and the Word of God and the gospel, amen. We want them to be exposed to change lives. We want the kids to be able to think this thought. I know Jesus can change my life because he's already changed Brother Ivan's life. He's already changed Preacher Reckley's life, and name off several in here. Amen. 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 Expose your children to the truth. It is the truth that sets them free. Ye shall know the truth. Jesus said that. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, set you free. Oh, I want to tell you, you'd think that would be going on in every church. Me and Brother Hayes was talking about that earlier. You'd have thought that'd be going on in every church. But the independent, fundamental, Bible-believing churches, many of them are going out in left field. Many of them are going the wrong direction, and they very seldom preach what I would call the truth. Amen. They're more interested in people's feelings. They're more interested in a crowd. They're more interested in pleasing man. And they're watering down the message, and they're avoiding things that deals with things that are necessary for us to grow as a Christian. Amen. But anyway, let's go on and read that. I didn't mean to get hung up right there, but I think what I said there was good, though, and needful. Verse number 23. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. Verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him and saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Listen, I'll mention this not this morning, but later on we'll preach on it a little bit if the Lord will help me to get there. Here's a woman that was a Gentile. Here was a woman that was a Canaanite, which was, listen, and remember back in the book of Deuteronomy, it was the Canaanites that God's people were to destroy. So this woman had no rights to Christ. This woman had no grounds to stand on to be at Christ's feet, to be there pleading for mercy. She was a Greek, she was a Canaanite, she was a Syrophoenician woman, and everything was working against her. Everything was working against her. But she got through, she pressed through, she got help that she needed. Her daughter was healed at that very moment. And Jesus said to her, great is thy faith. A Gentile, great is thy faith. She didn't have no judicial rights to Jesus because the law was still in effect at this chapter. The middle wall that separated Jew and Gentile was still up, hadn't been torn down yet. And so she had no connection, no hope of help, other than she believed that if anybody on earth could help her, he could. And Jesus commended her for having great faith, and there was only, I think, one other in the scripture that was commended for having great faith, and both of them were Gentiles. Amen. What was it, the centurion? I'm trying to recall the details on that other one, the centurion that came to Jesus and wanted him to heal his servant. And Jesus said, I'll go. And he said, no. You don't have to go. All you have to do is speak the word only. He said, I've got people under me. I've got soldiers under me. And he said, I say go, and they go. He said, I say get or come, and they come. And they, when I speak, my word has authority, and my word has power, and whatever I say happens. And if that's so with me and I'm just a man, how much more will that be so with you? Lord, you don't have to come to my house. I'm not worthy for you to come in my house. Here's what you just need to do. Just speak the word, thank God. Right here it is, friend. Right here is the recorded spoken word of the Savior. He said, speak the word only. And Jesus was so impressed with that man's faith. He said, I've not seen so great a faith in all of Israel than this. Amen. But look, let's read on. Look at chapter 15. We're in verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. The daughter wasn't present right here, but she got the benefits of a mother's faith. She was one that got the benefits of somebody else interceding, somebody else praying. And listen, if I could encourage you to end this year and start a new year with any kind of resolve at all, it ought to be in the area of prayer. Amen. If your prayer life is where it needs to be, pretty much everything else is going to fall in place. But if your praying is not where it needs to be, listen, hardly anything else is going to fall in place. So I want to encourage you to pray. But this woman prayed. This woman prayed to the Lord and got the help that she needed. And I believe that it was because of her attitude. It was because of her attitude. I pointed this out, or I think I referenced this last Sunday. Not only was she a Greek and a Canaanite woman and so forth, but yet we find there was about five obstacles that was against her getting help. The first one was when she, of course, you know her descent. I already mentioned that. But she also, when she came to Christ here in verse number 22, the Bible said, and she where she pleaded for mercy, she comes to verse 23, and the Bible said he answered her not a word. So that was the silence of the Savior was an obstacle to her getting help. Most of us would have quit right there. If we don't get our prayers answered the first time we pray, how many of us prays on? How many of us goes on and prays again and again and again? Most time we pray, and if it don't happen, we just write it off and go on about our business. But the Bible said he answered her not a word. Another obstacle was found in verse 23 when the disciples said, send her away. Send her away, Lord. You know, she's a Gentile. You're the king of the Jews, and you know, we're God's chosen people. Send her away. That was an obstacle. The rejection of people. Boy, there's going to be that in life. Another obstacle I found where Jesus talked about the children first. Talking about the Jews first. The children first. Eats at the table. Is it meat for us to take, for me to take the bread that is to be given to the children and feed it to the dogs? And that was another obstacle. That was the last obstacle. She was basically low-rated to a dog, a Gentile dog, an outcast, a reject. But you don't find her getting offensive? Thank God she wasn't a snowflake. Amen. If she would have been a snowflake, if she would have been one of these thin-skinned, amen, easily offended, her daughter would have died under that, being grievously vexed with the devil. Her daughter would have never got the help. Listen, can I preach right there a minute? If you're easily offended, somebody else is going to pay for that. So you're not going to be able to help somebody if you are easily offended, amen. That's right. God help us. I'm tired of walking on eggshells around people. Wondering if I looked at them right, or wondering if I had the right tone in my voice, or wondering, you know, if I just, listen, I'm sick of that. In fact, I'll tell you what that is. That's bondage. I'm not getting in that. I've been here 26 years. I've been here too long to get in that. I'm going to keep preaching like I've been preaching. Amen. I'm going to keep telling it like it is. I'm going to keep standing right with the right spirit. Amen. I'm going to do my best to love you. I'm going to do my best to help you. And if you get mad at the preaching of truth, then so be it. I can't help it. We don't know how I got on that. But I'm glad this woman wasn't offended when she was rejected. I'm glad this woman wasn't offended when she was called a dog. Amen. But you know what she said when she was called a dog? Truth, Lord. Amen. If the Lord says to you, I'm just saying, if he were to say to you, you're just an old dog and you ain't worthy and you don't deserve my attention, you don't deserve my help, you don't, here's what you say, truth, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank God. I had nothing to attract him. Amen, I was just an old, sorry, low-down, hell-deserving sinner. Amen, you know what I need to say? Truth, Lord. Truth, Lord, amen. But anyway, the first attitude that we mentioned last Sunday, I don't know where this short service is going. I'm getting warmed up here, amen. Whoo, amen, but this is my top priority preaching right here this morning. But listen to this right here. Her attitude that got her access to the Savior. The first one was, as we called it last Sunday, the abolish. She had an abolishing attitude. That word abolish just simply means to do away with, put an end to make void, to cancel, to exterminate. When she looked at what the enemy was doing, when she looked at what the devil was doing, she did not look upon that with favor. She didn't look upon that friendly. She looked upon that as an act of the enemy, that I want it stopped. I don't want this devil to be grievously vexing my daughter anymore. I'm done with this. I want it done. I want it exterminated. I want it over. I want it canceled. I want it done away with. And boy, we preached on that or tried to last Sunday morning. How that's one of a great attitudes that gets access to the Lord is when you are going to Him with an attitude that I hate what's going on. I hate what the devil's doing. I hate the damage that's being done. And I want help. I want it changed. I want it stopped. We're too tolerant. Amen. You'll never pray much about what you're tolerant with. Whatever you're okay with won't bother you. I wrote this down. The Lord gave this to me. Actually, I was coming home and Blake was driving. I was coming home. I just jotted this down and made a note of it in my phone. Prayerlessness says I'm okay with what's going on. If I'm not praying about something, it's because I'm okay with what it is or what it is not. Amen. If you're not praying for lost children, if you have a lost child in your home and you're not earnestly and fervently, amen, praying, you know what you're saying by that? I'm okay with it. Prayers that gets attitudes that gets access to the Lord is one that is dissatisfied and need and want and desire a difference made. Amen. So prayerlessness says I'm okay with what's going on. If prayer changes things, and it does, then prayerlessness changes nothing. Prayerlessness says, I really do not want things to change. If prayer changes things, then prayerlessness says, I really don't want nothing to change. I'm okay with the way it is. But that wasn't the case with this woman. This woman came with an attitude. She came with an attitude not against the Savior, but against the devil that was grievously tormenting and vexing her daughter. You say, what's that got to do with Christmas? I done told you. He came here to destroy the works of the devil. He came down here to the domain of the enemy. This is the domain of the enemy. The devil is the prince and power of the air. He's called the god of this world. And Jesus came here, thank God. Amen. Not to hurt, but to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. I like it, don't you? The second thing I'd like to mention in going on with the message, the second attitude, not only that abolishing attitude, but secondly, there was an acknowledging attitude. Now, this acknowledging really didn't come out as much in what she said as it came out in her attitude. Let me just let you know what I'm talking about. Her actions by coming to Christ was showing the attitude of acknowledgement. She's acknowledging several things. She is acknowledging I just wrote it down like this. By her going to Jesus, it's acknowledging everything that she's tried has not and cannot work. You've got to have, when you go to the Lord, there's got to be that attitude that what I'm doing is not helping. What I'm doing is not fixing it. What I'm doing is not turning it around. I need you, Lord. I need what you can do. Amen. She came with that attitude. I remember a saying, Lord, give me a long time ago, you don't worry about what's in God's hands. You worry about what's in your hands. Amen. And what we're not willing to pray about is what we're trying to fix. It's what we're trying to deal with. Amen. You pray about what's bigger than you. You know why she went to the Savior? She realized she was no match for that devil that was vexing her daughter. She realized that he was bigger than her. He was greater than her. But she realized, and how did she know this? How did she know this? Her being a Greek? Her being a Canaanite woman? Her being a Syrophoenician woman? How did she know that Christ had this ability? She had met a few along the way. No doubt she had heard, it doesn't say that, but no doubt she had heard about Jesus and what he had done for other people and his power. Or else how would she have had confidence in him had she not heard that? That's another reason why it's important that you give your testimony. Amen. Because it builds confidence in other people in the Savior that made the change in your life. So she had an acknowledging attitude, amen? She acknowledged her helplessness. And she acknowledged the fact that everything, and you know she tried. You know she probably tried everything. And maybe early on, we don't know this, but maybe early on in this situation, this story with this daughter, maybe early on she may have went to the idolatrous altars. She may have went to the priest or whatever they had in that idolatry. But no help was coming. No help was given. So here she's coming to the Savior. Thank God. I'm glad Jesus is arms open. But there's the acknowledging attitude. And I could say a lot more about that, but I want to move on to mentioning this. And that is, there is the approaching attitude. That's why she came to the Savior. She was approaching Him. And she, listen, might I say, she didn't just approach Him physically. She approached Him with the right attitude. She called Him Lord twice. She called Him Lord twice. She said in verse 22, "Have mercy on me." She didn't just come physically, but she came with the right attitude. When she was calling Him Lord, she was saying, "You're the boss." When she was saying, "You're Lord," that she was recognizing His position, His authority, His rank, His rights, and all of that. Can you call Him Lord this morning? I'll tell you how big a deal that is. The Bible said that no man calleth Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Amen. It takes the Holy Ghost to work in your heart for you to call Jesus Lord. So she came with the attitude of calling Him Lord. She came with the attitude of pleading for mercy. She said in verse 22, "Have mercy on me." That's what Miss Elizabeth was saying in her testimony earlier, was basically, "I didn't have nothing to offer, and I just pleaded for mercy. Mercy is getting what I do not deserve. God holding back what I deserve," amen. And she said, "Have mercy on me. Lord, if I'm going to get help, I'm going to have to plead for Your mercy. If I'm going to get help, my daughter's going to get help, I'm going to have to plead for mercy this morning." Amen. And I still plead for mercy. And I am saved. I am a child of God. But I have to still come to the Lord based upon mercy. Amen. That's right. Hebrews 4:16, "Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy." Talking about God's people. "That we may obtain mercy to find grace to help in the time of need." I thought about one other thing on that statement before I move on. And some of these I'm just covering quickly. But I remember what Brother Fultz said. It's been a few weeks ago now. He said on Wednesday night, I believe it was, we were having a testimony meeting. God was moving. And he made this statement. And several of you have commented on it. But he made this statement that nobody that ever came to the Lord on their own was rejected. He said this. He said, Jesus didn't heal everybody. There was places He went and He could have helped them, but they didn't believe or whatever. He didn't heal everybody. He didn't help everybody. But everybody that made it their business, this woman in our text was not invited. Jesus didn't send her an invitation. "Come over here and pray. Come over here and talk to me. Come over here and spend time with me, and I can change your daughter's life. I can change her future." She did not have an invitation. She did not have biblical rights. But she came anyhow. And I remember Brother Fultz making that statement that night. Boy, that got big in my heart. That not one person that ever took it on themselves, "I'm going to Jesus and I'm going to get help," thank God, that was turned away. Amen. They may have not have deserved to be there. They may have not had any rights to be there. I want to tell you, maybe that all they had to plead with was mercy. Oh my goodness. Matthew, I believe it's chapter number 8, the leper that came running to Jesus. He wasn't invited. He was contaminated. He had an incurable disease. He was excommunicated from the human race. Nobody wanted anything to do with him. I want to tell you what, he made it his choice. "I'm going to Jesus." Jesus never turned anybody away that took it on themselves. "I'm going to Jesus," and have the right attitude. For you that's lost in here, let me say something to you. I know we have some kids in our church that's not saved. Don't ever get in your mind, I'm going to get saved when Jesus hits me over the head or when some big experience happens. If you're not careful, you'll get that mentality. I'm waiting on something big to happen. I'm waiting on, for some kind of a force to get a hold of me and just drag me to the altar. What are you going to do with the verse that, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out? Do we need to take the time here this morning to point out scriptures that already says the door's open for you? Amen. I'm going to read you one of them. I just thought I might ought to, just to drive home my point. God didn't let John write the last words of Revelations, which is the last book in our King James Bible. He didn't even let him finish that out. Amen. Verse 21 is the last verse. Here's verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Are you thirsty? Come. Do you want to get saved? Come. Is it on your mind? Is it in your heart to get saved? Come. The door's open. The invitation is extended. Amen. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Amen. Nobody ever was turned away that come to Jesus with an issue and a problem and couldn't fix it themselves and had confidence in him and had faith in him. They believed that he could do the work. The woman with the issue of blood. I mean, the list goes on, Brother Craig, of miracles that Jesus performed. Of people that got help because they heard about how he helped other people. Amen. Boy, I'm glad you, listen, well, this is a good thought. I'm glad when this woman came to the Lord and was petitioning the Lord on behalf of her daughter that was grievously vexed, not just vexed, grievously vexed. And I don't believe it was just grieving the daughter. I believe it was grieving the mama. I believe we'll be able to pray for others when what they're going through is bothering us. When somebody says, pray for me, whether they send you a text, an email, a phone call, or in person, they say, pray for me. I got this going on. If you don't really care, I can tell you what you're going to do. Or what you're not going to do. You're not going to pray. Amen. I believe the Spirit of God is able to allow the condition and the feelings of other people become ours so we can bear them up in prayer. Bear ye one another's burdens. Amen. And so there's the approaching attitude. Then verse 25, there's the adoring attitude. The Bible said she came. I'm talking about how to get access. What kind of attitudes do we need to have as believers to get access? But now if having access to the Lord is not big to you, then what I'm preaching about is not going to really help you. But if you really want to be able to bow your head before God and pray and get an answer, then it's going to matter. So here, listen to this, the adoring attitude. Look what it says in verse 22. And a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Look over in verse number 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Boy, there's some preaching right there. I don't have time to do it this morning. But there's some preaching right there. She said in the same verse, same sentence, Lord, help me is in the same statement of worship. When we recognize our deficiency, should move us to His sufficiency. When we recognize I can't, I don't have the ability. Listen, that drives us to bow before Him and worship Him. Brother Scott opened up Sunday school this morning about worshiping. Of course, he mentioned, and it is true, how good God's been to us. We ought to worship God over his goodness. But here's a woman not worshiping over his good, over the fact God's been good to her. Here's a woman worshiping because she needed him. I believe it'd help us to worship God if we'd come to church with a consciousness of how desperately we need him. What are you praying about this morning? What is it that's going on in your heart as a desire that requires God to do it? Amen. Amen. Now, if I thought our church was where it really needs to be and we were all where we need to be, I wouldn't be preaching this. I guarantee it. Amen. The Lord showed this to me a few weeks back, reading through the book of Matthew in my devotion. And the thing that stuck out to me when I read through that was, wow, here's a rejected woman having access to the Lord. And it was her attitude. It was her attitude. She had an adoring attitude. She came, the Bible said, and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. I'm worshiping you, I'm adoring you, I'm submitting to you. That word worship has several meanings. That word worship has the idea of respecting, honoring, elevating him, submitting to him. You're not going to worship without any of them. If you don't respect him, honor him, elevate him, submit to him, then you're not going to worship him. Amen. And I hope we get this morning. I'm not going to get even close to where I wanted to get to this morning, but I want to tell you this. We need to understand that what Jesus did for that daughter was honoring the one that had honored him. A good way of getting some help from the Lord for somebody else, getting help for somebody else, is when we recognize who he is, his ability and our inability. I'm gonna end with this one. There's several more, but I want to end with this one this morning, if the Lord help me. Her abasing attitude. The word abase, we remember in the book of Corinthians where Paul said, I have learned, or it may have been Timothy, where Paul said, I have learned to be content. He said, I've learned to abound. And then he said, I have learned also to be abased. That word abase has the idea of being on the bottom. That word abase has the idea of needing mercy. She pleaded for mercy. Why? Because she recognized who she was. I think that's one of the greatest hindrances of prayer is we don't realize who we are. And she pleaded for the Lord to help her. But the word abase, where she pleaded for mercy, means to reduce to a lower, to bring down, as in rank, reputation, and estimation. She came and submitted herself. Even when Jesus called her a dog, she said, truth, Lord. You know why? She said, it's under the tables where I am. I'm not worthy of getting on the eating where the children is. I'm down in the floor. I'm at the bottom. I'm as low as you can get. And all I'm getting is crumbs. All I'm wanting, Lord, is crumbs. If you'll just give me some crumbs, my daughter will be helped. I don't need a whole plate full, Lord. If you'll just give me some crumbs. You've got such power. If I just get some just pieces of it, if I could just get some fragments of it, my daughter will be made whole. Amen. But she took the position of abasement to reduce to a lower status. To bring down, as in rank and estimation. You're not, how many, of course, most people in here, you've heard the Bible, you've read the Bible, and do we not understand how important humility is? Brother Aaron, one of the statements that's in the Bible is in the book of James. And the Bible says that God rejecteth the proud. But giveth grace to the humble. Could it be that that's the reason that a lot of us maybe don't have our prayers answered as we could? Is that maybe we're thinking too highly of ourselves? I promise you, The middle letter of the word sin is I. When I gets big, sin is going to get big. May the Lord help us this morning with that. Amen. Retaliation, revenge, all of that is selfish based. I'll get you because you hurt me. I'll get you back. I'll hurt. Listen, all that self stuff, that's not the Savior. He made himself of no reputation. Amen. And so there is the abasing attitude. Come into the Lord humble and bow before Him, recognizing His lordship, but also recognizing the fact that you and I require and need mercy. Have mercy on me, Lord. I don't deserve help. I don't deserve it. But Lord, I need mercy. I need help. And this stuck out to me. I think I may have mentioned it last Sunday. It was the daughter that needed help, right? The daughter was the one that was grievously vexed with the devil. But when she came to the Lord, she didn't say, Lord, help my daughter. She came to the Lord and said, help me. Lord, if you don't help... In other words, Lord, if you're wanting to help me, if you're willing to help me, the way you help me is answering prayer for my daughter. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, no telling how long, no telling how severe, and Lord, I need you to help her. I need you to help me. Well, help me. I want that. I want that. I want to get to the place spiritually where my help is when I see people that I'm praying for getting help. That's what I hope. Amen. Anyway, let's all stand to our feet. We'll look at if the Lord don't change my mind and change my direction, we may look at some of the other at the end tonight. If the Lord leads that way, if He doesn't, then that's fine too, whatever He wants. So let's bow for just a word of prayer. How's your prayer life this morning? Do you have access? What kind of attitude do you have? A lot of times it's not your actions that's hindering. It's your attitude. This daughter was helped. This daughter was healed. Well, the devil wants to vex children. The devil's the author of grievously vexing children. That's the pathway. If you listen to him and let him follow, you follow his lead, that's what one day is going to be your testimony. Grievously vexed. Sin does not satisfy. Sin does not satisfy. Sin does not help you. The far country will never help you. Far country will never be a friend to you. Sin will wear you out. You'll be the loser when you gamble and play around with sin. But thank God if you've got somebody praying for you, you've got a treasure. Somebody that's going to the Lord in your behalf, you've got a treasure. Let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We ask you, Lord, to have your way. Speak to my heart, Lord. God, I don't want to just go through the mechanics of praying. Lord, I want to know, Father, and I do know. I do have the knowledge in my head from the Bible, dear Lord, that you answer prayer and you yield death blows to the enemy. People are delivered when God's people praise. And Lord, used to the church was a powerhouse because it was a prayer house. But we have got to the place now to where not too many people really praise fervently. That people really do not take the time and spend the time to pray. Lord, we don't know in our text what signs was evident of this daughter being grievously vexed. I don't know if this mother could see it or if this mother could sense it or both. Lord, help us as parents. Help us, Lord, as leaders and older folk here in the church to have discernment, to be able to discern what the devil's doing in people's hearts and pray about it, even before maybe there's an outward sign. And Lord, I'm asking you, dear Father, that you'd have your way in this service this morning. Lord, there's some folk here this morning. Lord, the devil's trying every way in the world to destroy. Lord, to detour, to devour, to steal, kill, and to destroy. God, I pray that you'll not allow them to have the thought, I can handle it. It may have happened to others, but it's not going to happen to me. Lord, please help them to recognize, oh God, the only deliverance from the power of the devil is through Jesus. Lord, have your way this morning. Several folk in the altar praying this morning. Folk carrying a burden this morning. Please help us, I pray. Please help us, Lord. Lord, we're in a battle. We're in a battle over the souls of men. We're in a battle, Lord, over young people. Homes destroyed. We're in a battle, Lord. And we need to get to the place where we can go to you with the right attitudes of access and hear, get our prayers answered. People get help because we prayed. People get help because we believe God. People got help because we humbled ourselves and submitted ourselves unto the Lord. Have your way, Father.